Ben Bernanke on the Hill. Does the man have a plan?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. When Federal Reserve Chair Ben Bernanke testifies to Congress today, lawmakers will want to know how he plans to help revive the economy. But Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer tells us Bernanke's options are limited.
Usually, if the Fed wants to tune up the economy, it pushes interest rates down. Borrowing becomes cheap, but current interest rates are already near zero. Catherine Mann is a former Fed economist. She says the Fed has other tools. Take the bully pulpit. Mann says Bernanke can use his congressional testimony to highlight banks' reluctance to lend money.
And the more that the Federal Reserve shines some light on that behavior, the more the financial system starts to say, let's see if we can put ourselves in a better light.
Larry Meyer is a former Fed governor. He agrees that talk is the best Fed tool right now, but he thinks the Fed should talk about when it might nudge interest rates higher.
Change the whole conversation. That changes the whole psychology of the markets. That's a big deal.
If talk doesn't work, the Fed does have some more radical tools. It could start buying up corporate bonds that have been bundled into investments, but that tool could backfire if the markets see it as an act of desperation. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Congress is also paying attention to the tax code, thanks to the death last week of New York Yankees owner George Steinbrenner. Because of a quirk in the tax law, had Steinbrenner passed away last December, his estate would have owed Uncle Sam around $450 million. If he had lived until next year, the tax bill would have gone up to $550 million. But this year, his heirs will not pay a thing. Lots of people would like to change this situation. Joining us live from Washington, Marketplace's John Dimsdale. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Bill.
So what are lawmakers looking to do?
Well, nobody wants to do nothing because without some sort of change, the estate tax becomes very onerous next year, 55% for every estate of just $1 million or more. So without some kind of action, there's a perverse incentive for millionaires to die this year to save their heirs a lot of money.
Right. And what's being proposed today?
Well, a group of Democrats wants to make last year's estate tax rate permanent, 45% on any family estate worth more than $7 million. That idea is going to get some support today from unions and several wealthy people, including former Goldman Sachs head Robert Rubin and Walt Disney heir Abigail Disney.
And is that the only idea that's out there?
Hardly. Yesterday, Republican Senator Jim DeMint from South Carolina introduced an amendment to do away with what he called the death tax altogether. Liberals jumped all over that idea as just a big gift to the rich that would cost the federal treasury $1 trillion over 10 years.
So those sound like very different proposals. Is there any hope of a compromise?
A bipartisan group of senators wants to lower the estate tax rate to 35% with a $10 million exemption. But with the very public tax-free death of billionaire George Steinbrenner, you know, there's a push to do something in the Senate before the August recess.
Marketplace's John Dimsdale, thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
Let's do the numbers. World stocks are higher thanks in part to some very positive earnings news last night from Apple. European markets up more than 1%. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials added 75 points, closed at 10,229.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Vanguard, a client-owned company where the clients own the funds and the funds own the company. Learn more at Vanguard.com. By Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. And by LendingTree.com, tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com.
If money is tight for you these days, you might find yourself noticing things like tipping more than you used to. Here to talk about tips, our regular Wednesday guest, LA Times business columnist David Lazarus. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, David, because of the recession, I assume restaurants are suggesting you leave a smaller gratuity than you used to?
Oh, contraire. You assume wrong, my friend.
Oh?
As a matter of fact, I was talking to a guy the other day who went into a restaurant here in Southern California who paid with his credit card, got the receipt, and like so many receipts these days, it included suggested gratuities on it of 15%, 18%, and 20%. Yeah. But he realized, wait a minute, these aren't the pre-tax amounts that I had calculated prior to getting the receipt. These were all after-tax amounts.
So what is the rule of thumb today?
Well, that's a good question, and that's something I was curious about myself. Emily Post, for example, says you tip on the pre-tax amount. And there was a conversation online at the Zagat site, for example, where they all agreed pre-tax is right unless you're just overjoyed with the service, and then you might do the after-tax amount. And yet, also, the participants in the Zagat survey observed that anytime you get suggested gratuities on your receipt, it is almost always the after-tax amount. So why is that?
Yeah, who writes those suggestions? The restaurants?
Well, is it the server? Is it the restaurant? Is it the credit card company? I talked to MasterCard. They said, oh, don't blame us. It's not us setting that. I called up the restaurant of the guy who I wrote about originally in this piece, and they said, are you kidding? We didn't know this. And in fact, the restaurant owner even told me, when I go to other restaurants, I always tip on the pre-tax amount. So who's to blame? Apparently, it's the processing companies. That's not Visa and MasterCard. Those are the guys who provide the machine that sits next to the cash register that is going to be processing the transaction. They have software that will include these suggested gratuities on it. Now, the real question now is, are they doing this by default, or are they doing this in cahoots with the establishment? I'm having a hard time nailing that down, but the bottom line is almost uniformly, when you get suggested gratuities on your receipt, it is for the after-tax amount.
Los Angeles Times business columnist David Lazarus, just accept my gratitude.
I always
be happy with that. And finally, you've seen the ad campaign for Old Spice body wash, right? The tongue-in-cheek macho man addressing the ladies.
Hello, ladies. Look at your man. Now back to me. Sadly, he isn't me. But if he stopped using lady-scented body wash and switched to Old Spice, he could smell like he's me.
The campaign is a huge hit, but the World Advertising Research Center reports it's not that effective. Sales of the body wash have fallen 7%. It's hard to say why, but the ads seem to assume the ladies are doing the shopping. The website for women, Jezebel.com, says maybe ladies are letting men buy their own body wash. It's the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.